The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to trap Jesus, to get him to say something against Rome so the Romans could arrest him. So what they did is they sent spies to Jesus that were pretending to be nice to him. So they came to him and they were trying to butter him up. They said, "Teacher, we know that you teach what is true and your ways are the ways of life. So let us know something. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar?" But Jesus saw right through this, and he said to them, "Show me a Roman coin." So they gave it to him, and he said, "Whose head is on this coin?" And they said, "Caesar's." And so he said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's." So at this, they didn't trap Jesus. It was a brilliant answer. And so they couldn't really say anything in response to this. And they stayed quiet for the rest of the time with him. Taxes. It's tax season. How many people have their taxes done? Amen. Most of you. Good job. Well, if you're like me, I get annoyed with taxes. I admit it. It's probably a sin. But to me, they seem a bit arbitrary. We've taken our taxes to different tax preparers, and they're thousands of dollars apart. You figure it out. Why is this? How is this possible? What is right? What is lawful to do? I find the whole tax system confusing and way too complex. If you're going to require everyone in the country to file taxes, why not make it a lot easier? One piece of paper. Wouldn't that be nice? If you were starting from scratch and making a society, a country from scratch, would we have this rather Byzantine tax system? Of course not. We would say that you're taxed 10%, 12%, 15%, 20%, whatever it is, that would seem to be fair across the board. Yet we have all these different things. You could write off this, write off that, write off what you donate to nonprofits, write off what you use for work. And then it just seems so utterly unfair. Amazon, as a corporation, pays no corporate income tax. Now, yet all of us here, we do, certainly. Is that fair? Doesn't seem to be too fair. The largest company in the world. Well, people in those days were very annoyed as well, probably even more so. Because in those days, they had no representation in Israel. The Jewish people were not Roman citizens, yet they were taxed as such. Taxmen like Zacchaeus would walk into a town and simply shake you down for whatever they can get from you, animals, people. A big reason why Rome was considered an enemy was this tax system, unfair as it was. Then there was this larger issue of Caesar and God, because Caesar, of course, thought of himself as a son of God, almost God himself. So there were these divided loyalties. Who had a bigger pull upon the people? Who had a bigger influence upon the people? Caesar would have a big influence upon his empire. So the lines were blurred in those days, as they were in our day, between church and state, government and temple. The chief priests, they paid tribute to Rome. So they're almost hypocrites to come to Jesus with this question. When I was a Cub Scout, we had something called the God and Country Badge. Was anyone else a Cub Scout? A few people. Did you ever get the God and Country Badge? Yeah, one person, yeah. So the God and Country was an optional track that you could take, a course that was taught usually by a minister or a priest, depending on your denomination. And our Cub Scout troop met at a church. It was a Methodist church. So we had our Methodist pastor, the church I belonged to, teach our class. I liked it. But it had a lot to do with God, almost nothing to do with country. I don't know why it was labeled God and Country. I use this illustration to say that we often confuse the two. We put those two on an even plane, separate yet equal. In our country, I think we assume too often that God is on our side, and that sometimes even our leaders are appointed by God to be our leaders. And I preface this by saying that I would like our country to be on God's side. I think many times we are, but not always. We haven't always been in history. Does God favor us more than other countries? No, I don't think so. Are we the only nation under God? There's a song that I like. It's in our hymnals. And it talks about how blessed our country is, yet it acknowledges that other countries, they have beautiful sunsets as well, and that other countries live under the umbrella of God and are blessed by God as well. Sometimes we have been arrogant in assuming that we are God's only appointed country to do justice in the world. This is dangerous to think. Now, the separation of church and state is actually not a godly idea. We say that out of convenience, I think, that we don't want one to interfere with the other. We don't want our politics in church. We don't want church in politics. It's a wise practice, perhaps, but as Christians, shouldn't we also want, as a society, to do what God requires us to do? Yes, I think so. And what is that? Just a reminder of what we talked about last week, Micah 6:8. Work towards peace and justice while practicing humility. Look that up in your Bibles, Micah 6:8 this week. We need more of that in our country today, working towards peace, towards justice so that we can have peace, and also perhaps practicing a bit more humility, as was mentioned before. Now, it would seem as though Jesus is advocating some kind of separation of church and state, right? Pay to Caesar what is Caesar, and pay to God what is God's. Having this comparison set against each other, equal yet separate. But don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. This is Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is advocating God over Caesar. To keep God out of the rest of our lives diminishes God. It attempts to domesticate God within these walls. It lessens the effectiveness of the good news of Christ if we try and build walls around the good news and the gospel and keeping it under wraps in little boxes within these walls at church, only in our private lives. That's why I'm okay with us as a community praying in our schools. I'm a Christian pastor. Of course I want people to pray. Pray everywhere. Pray in your schools. Yes. And we do here in Galleon. After school, in Galleon, three different buildings, three times a week, we have a Bible club. We help to support that religious education has been going on for decades. Baccalaureate is an optional activity for our high school seniors that happens at our high school. And we hand out Bibles as gifts to people. I don't have a problem with that. It is run by ministers. I think that is okay. I think that as churches, our primary responsibility is being places of religious education. And if that has to take place outside the walls, then so be it. I think it's important to be mindful, though, when we pray at public events, at our city council meetings where prayer happens every month on Tuesday evening. A minister prays before our city council meetings. Good to know that, right? I think it's mindful to be aware that people might believe something a little differently than you do. They might be Catholic. They might be Mormon. They might belong to the church down the street that does things a little bit differently. And I believe that we can come together and respect each other's beliefs. I think God would want us to do that. I think, though, sometimes only lip service is paid to God. That's it. 1 hour a week. We prayed at the beginning of our meeting. We got that over with. Now down to business. We put it aside. Now to move on. Even in our pews, sometimes we have this attitude too. That's why it bears repeating that in everything we do, in all things, we should be in prayer at all times, aware that God is in our circle of faith. Sometimes we put other things first. We put our family first. We put ourselves first. Sometimes maybe God would want us to do that, to make our family and friends and ourselves even a priority. And in doing so, we make God a priority, but it's hard sometimes to discern the difference, and God gets pushed aside. We do this in regards to loyalty to our country. Sometimes our God time is just token time. We don't want this service of worship to go much past an hour, do we? We have lunch plans. Maybe we want to watch basketball or football games in the fall. It's this loyalty to country that is brought to our attention in our scripture with the mention of Caesar. Sometimes our reverence for country at times in society borders on our religion. Patriotism is seen as next to that, sometimes even eclipsing our Christianity. It is considered It's considered almost sinful in our society to be unpatriotic, right? One of the worst things you could be, to not be a patriot, to not believe in our country. We treat our service members in the military as saints that have gone before us. I don't mind displaying the flag in our space. We do so. But I have to draw a line at our altar space. At our altar are the things that have to do with God, the light of God in our candles, the word of God represented by our scripture, the cross, the symbol of Christ, our prayers during Lent, and then maybe something in regards to its story for today, as are the coins on the altar. But that should be front and center. The things of God, the things of our faith. Nothing else should blur that. If that's at our center, then everything else will fall into place in our list of priorities the way they should. There's no divided loyalties with God. Early Christians were persecuted because they didn't divide their worship. They didn't put a line there. They didn't praise Caesar as well as Christ. They were in the right. Scripture says this over and over, that they will be rewarded as well at the end of time in Revelation for being faithful. They will be clothed in white, considered saints. Let us follow these brave examples of faith by having God at the center of our lives, in our heart, in our thoughts. Let us pray. Holy God, we dedicate ourselves to you more fully today, 100%. Help us to make space in our hearts just for you, at the center of the circle of our lives, and everything else that comes of that will fall into place the way you have meant it to. Help us to honor and respect our country, to honor and respect others in our community, to remember that at all times and in all places during the week that we carry you in our hearts, that you walk with us, and that you are there to help us through all circumstances. We pray for our nation once again. We pray for the concerns of our nation. We pray for the divisions that are out there, that exist, that we're all too aware of. Help them be dissolved. Help us have less of a hierarchy and more of ourselves coming together in circles around you. We pray all of this in the name of the one who started all of this, the one whom we praise above all, Jesus Christ. Amen.